One of You and One of Me. Written by Z's for S's. And read by Litra. A Star Wars Thrawn, His Dark Materials fusion fic. Summary. How would you feel about progressing this relationship further? Thrawn asked before he could second-guess himself. Eli frowned for a moment, before he started laughing in delight. You're really bad at this. Information Guide. Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials books are set in a very detailed and interesting alternate universe. The general points necessary to understand this fic are as follows. 1. Everyone is born with a daemon, an animal companion that is a physical manifestation of that person's soul. Daemons are usually the opposite gender of their person, and they often act as a foil. For instance, a mischievous person might have a prim or nervous demon that tried to talk them out of pulling pranks, or at least pointed out why it was a bad idea. 2. When someone is young, their demon can shapeshift, but once they grow up, their daemon settles and takes one animal form permanently. Generally speaking, a demon's form tells you something about the person's personality. 3. Humans and their demons cannot be too far away from each other. The exact distance varies, but generally speaking, someone's demon has to be in the same room as them. Stretching the tether between human and demon causes them both physical and emotional pain. 4. It is incredibly taboo for a person to touch another person's demon. The only situation in which it is acceptable is if the people involved are deeply in love. You are, after all, literally touching someone else's soul. Southern Lycerian river otters can spend up to 6 hours a day grooming. He'd read that ages ago in one of his nature books, long before he'd hit puberty and Mishi had settled as one. Mishi didn't need quite that much grooming. Otters' coats needed to be well-kept to stay waterproof, but they weren't going to run into any surprise bodies of water at the Imperial Academy. Still, he wasn't about to start walking around with a scruffy demon. And it was nice to be able to hold and fuss over his daemon. You weren't supposed to be so touchy-feely with your daemon when you were on duty. They did their main grooming session in the evening after their shower. Eli sat at his desk chair with a towel in his lap, and Mishi would hop up, and together they would dry her off and get her fur in order. They'd been at the academy about a week, the first time Eli caught Nuha watching them. It's a little unnerving. She was a large feline, after all. Thrawn had called her a Celestian Ice Leopard when they were being registered, Eli recalled. Not that that told him anything. She wasn't staring or anything, though, just glancing at them now and then while Thrawn was deeply focused on his datapad. So Eli let it go. But it kept happening. Eli would glance up and catch Nuha watching them. She always looked away quickly, and Thrawn never looked up from his reading. Tonight, when he caught Nuha watching again, he asked,
"Did you have a question?"
It's a little weird to talk directly to someone else's demon. But Thrawn was still reading, or pretending to read. So, here they are. Nuha looked at Thrawn first. He was definitely pretending to read now. Thrawn raised his eyebrows, but said nothing.
"I apologize if I'm intruding," Nuha said, her voice deep and smooth. "You both seem to take this grooming very seriously. I was curious as to why. You don't seem to be just neatening yourself."
Mishi turned around to face Nuha, halting their session for now, and answered.
"I'm not waterproof if my fur is not in order," she explained.
Eli scratched behind her ears as she spoke, and a contented hum colored her voice as she continued.
"I have essentially got two coats, the soft inner one and the outer one that actually keeps the water out."
"May I see?" Nuha asked.
Mishi glanced up at him, and Eli shrugged.
Her choice, really. It was her fur.
"Yeah, all right," Mishi said. Nuha had been lounging on Thrawn's bunk.
How the both of them fit on there, Eli wasn't sure.
But now she slid off the bed and padded towards them. She was so quiet, her large paws made no sound as she came over. Nuha didn't touch Mishi.
It would have been weird with Mishi still in Eli's lap,
but she did lean in as close as she could and examine Mishi's fur without touching her.
Eli hadn't been this close to Nuha before.
She had dark blue eyes and her fur looked very soft.
Maybe even softer than Mishi's inner coat.
Besides her dark spots, the rest of her fur ranged from a soft periwinkle,
most of her underbelly,
to a bright purple-blue.
Pretty, really, though he wondered what sort of environment she'd blend in with.
Nuha withdrew, and Eli shook himself.
He'd been staring, which was incredibly rude. Mishi nipped his fingers, and Eli felt himself blushing. Nuha returned to the bed without speaking, and then Thrawn looked up and caught Eli's eye.
"Thank you both," he said.
Eli swallowed. "No problem."
"Did you see Drusilla?" Mishi murmured. She was draped across Eli's shoulders, her usual perch. "She looked so jealous I thought she'd molt on the spot."
Eli glanced at his demon and grinned, sharp and a touch vindictive.
"I did," he replied quietly.
Drusilla was the name of Lieutenant Grimm's daemon, if Thrawn recalled correctly. He hadn't realized Eli and Grimm had interacted enough for Eli to know the demon's name. He may have picked it up through his interactions with the other officers, though. He hadn't noted anything in particular about Drusilla's behavior at the inspection they just finished. He'd ask Nuha if she had later, but Grimm had looked unhappy.
The entire ship pitched sharply to the right, along with a considerable amount of G-force that knocked both Thrawn and Eli off their feet and pinned them to the wall. Thrawn on top of Eli. For a long moment, the overhead lighting flickered and then the ship leveled out, just as the gravity shut off. Thrawn was calming the bridge as soon as he could raise his comlink to his mouth.
"Report."
"The hyperdrive safety protocols triggered, and emergency dropped us out of lightspeed, sir," Pharaoh replied immediately. "Navigation says the star Ursin 768 went Nova ahead of schedule. Engineering's reported the emergency drop knocked the gravity generators offline," Eli said quietly.
He was still squeezed between Thrawn and the wall, but was on his data pad. He was, like Thrawn himself, currently floating about 6 inches above the ground.
"But they should have him up again in a few minutes. Then they'll need to run diagnostics on the hyperdrive before we can re-enter hyperspace."
"Are we in any immediate danger from the Nova, Captain Pharaoh?" Thrawn asked.
"No, sir. I've altered our course slightly to keep us out of the worst of the radiation waves. We should be all right at our current heading. The initial Nova just disturbed the local gravitational field enough to trigger the hyperdrive's built-in safety features."
"Very well," Thrawn said. Nuha found something hilarious, but Thrawn ignored the feeling for the moment and pressed on. "Continue on our current course. Please send me the updated flight plan. Commander Vanto and I will be joining you on the bridge shortly."
"Yes, sir,"
Captain Pharaoh said, and Thrawn ended the comm.
"Well, now what?" Eli asked as Thrawn secured his comlink.
"Now we float around," Nuha said. She was floating regally about 4 feet off the ground and looked smug.
Eli shrugged. "All right, I guess."
Mishi said from above them. "I think I need some help." Thrawn and Eli looked up. Mishi was floating almost 4 feet above them, nearly at the ceiling.
yet far enough away from the walls that there was nothing she could push off of.
Nuha snickered.
"Oh, shut up," Mishi snapped.
Eli looked worried. Thrawn could see why. The gravity should be back up shortly, and from her current location, Mishi might be injured if she fell. Thrawn unhooked his data pad from his belt and held it out for Mishi to grab. Mishi eyed the pad. The positioning was awkward. Thrawn was not wearing gloves. But Mishi should be able to grip the pad so Thrawn could pull her down. Mishi grabbed the pad, but as Thrawn drew the pad down, gravity returned. Thrawn instinctively reached out with his free hand to try to catch Mishi. His hand hit the back of Eli's arms as Eli caught Mishi himself, just as they hit the ground. Eli's arms were warm against Thrawn's hands, and Thrawn was painfully aware that he had been moments away from holding Mishi in his bare hands. Thrawn looked down at Mishi, who looked back up at him. He did not look at Eli, but he suspected Eli was staring at him too.
"The bridge is waiting," Nuah said pointedly.
Thrawn dropped his hands and stepped away.
"We had best continue."
"Yeah," Eli said. When Thrawn glanced at him, his face was heated as he let Mishi climb back up to his shoulder. He looked up at Thrawn and smiled.
"Back to work."
They were wrapping up yet another investigation of Dunium smuggling on Saloy. Thrawn was fairly sure this one was at least not one of Night Swan's little startups. The Dunium had been recovered, the ringleaders rounded up, and now it was just a matter of shipping them off to Imperial Prison. They had arranged for a transport from the nearest Imperial Prison, actually only a system over, and a prison shuttle had just arrived. Thrawn and Eli were heading out onto the landing platform now to greet the officer who would be taking the prisoners into custody. As soon as they came into view of the shuttle, it was obvious the officer waiting for them was uncomfortable. His daemon, a ground bird of some variety, was clearly anxious. Nuha had that effect on many people. Eli leaned sideways, letting Mishi clamber off his shoulder and run along beside them. Mishi and Eli frequently acted as a go-between for Thrawn and the other Imperial officers, who found him and Nuha intimidating. The exchange went smoothly to start. They traded niceties with the officer while the stormtroopers loaded the prisoners onto the shuttle. The second-to-last prisoner to be loaded was a young woman who was wailing. As the troopers dragged her past, she abruptly dropped to the ground and managed to take both the troopers holding her down with her. The prison officer and one of the two troopers guarding the last prisoner hurried over to assist. That had seemed planned, but before he could say anything, the last prisoner in line punched his remaining guard. He had freed his hands somehow and took off running across the landing pad. Thrawn felt the sharp ache of his bond with Nuha stretching for a moment as he and Eli took off after the escapee, but it ceased just as quickly, so he kept going. Nuha must have been delayed for a second, though Thrawn could not think why. Eli hadn't hesitated at all, and so he had a slight lead and managed to tackle the escaping man first. Thrawn stopped for a moment, assessing how best to assist Eli in wrestling the larger man to the ground, when Nuha bounded up and dropped Mishi, who she had in her mouth, neatly on Thrawn's boots before snarling and lunging at the escapee's dog demon. Nuha settled things quickly after that. Their escapee stopped fighting once Nuha got her jaws around the dog demon's neck, and then the stormtroopers arrived to recuff and corral the prisoner. Eli brushed himself off. He hadn't been injured in the fight.
"That was fun," he said brightly.
"Indeed," Thrawn said, though he was slightly distracted. At their feet, Mishi and Nuha were talking.
"You messed up my fur," Mishi hissed.
Her fur was indeed must where Nuha had picked her up.
"Next time I'll just leave you behind, then,"
Nuha teased. Mishi huffed.
I would have been fine. Just help me get this sorted.
And then Nuha started helping Mishi groom her fur. Right there, on the landing pad. It was a level of affection not commonly shown between daemons in public. Especially between officers. At least no one else was near. The other officers and stormtroopers were busy with the prisoners. Eli was pointedly staring at his datapad, his face hot. He didn't say anything, though, and Thrawn couldn't bring himself to speak either. They just stood there and waited for Mishi's fur to be put right before they returned to the shuttle and finished the prisoner exchange. Eli was pretty sure he was being set up, though he wasn't sure for what. Thrawn had invited him and Mishi to have dinner in his quarters that night. That in itself wasn't strange. They had dined in Thrawn's quarters often enough while working on projects or preparing for assignments. What was strange was they weren't currently on assignment. In fact, they were both off duty the next few days. But they went anyway. It wasn't like Thrawn and Nuha were bad company. There was wine with dinner, also unusual since it was clearly good wine, which meant it was from Thrawn's private stores, not Shemera's supply.
"It's a date,"
Mishi teased him when Thrawn and Nuha stepped out of the room briefly. Eli blushed furiously. "Stop that," he said, poking her little nose. "He probably just wants to celebrate a little."
"Celebrate what?"
Eli didn't know, and he couldn't muster up the courage to ask when Thrawn and Nuha returned. It was a good night. Dinner was delicious, and afterwards they hung around and talked about a dozen different things, just enjoying each other's company. Eventually, Eli realized it was getting late. Mishi sighed, realizing the same thing, and started extricating herself from Nuha's front paws while Eli stood to make their excuses. And wasn't that embarrassing? Mishi's newfound tendency to cuddle with Nuha as much as possible? At least they weren't in public.
"It's getting late," he said. "We should..."
He was cut off by Nuha snarling. She wasn't snarling at him, though, and to Eli's utter shock, Thrawn hopped up, looking chastised. Eli had seen people's demons prod them into action before. Heck, Mishi nipped his ear all the time. But not Nuha. What exactly was she urging Thrawn to do?
"Actually, Eli, there is a matter I need to discuss with you," Thrawn said. He sounded nervous.
"All right," Eli said. Thrawn took his hand, and Eli tried not to jump in surprise. There was no logical reason for Thrawn to be holding his hand. None at all, except that he just wanted to. Thrawn was talking, telling Eli he shouldn't feel pressured to answer Thrawn's question in any particular way. No matter what, Thrawn would respect his decision, but Eli wasn't really listening. He looked past Thrawn to their daemons. Mishi looked back. She was still cuddled up with Nuha, who was purring, Eli realized, and nuzzling Mishi adoringly.
"Oh,"
Mishi said as she realized she'd been right after all. This was a date. "Oh," Eli echoed as he finally put the pieces together. Thrawn stopped talking immediately. Eli looked down at their joined hands again, and up at Thrawn's face.
"Eli?" Thrawn asked.
"Why didn't you just say?" Eli said, and kissed Thrawn before he could say anything else. Things got a little hazy after that. Eli lost his jacket without quite knowing how.
"Bedroom?"
Thrawn suggested breathlessly. His hair was mussed, but Eli knew how that happened.
"Best plan," Eli agreed.
Nuha laughed. After, Eli was tired but absolutely content. He couldn't stop smiling. Thrawn pulled Eli close and pressed quick kisses to his cheek and jaw.
Eli never wanted to move again, and if Thrawn's current death grip on him was any indication, he wouldn't have to. Mishi and Nuha had joined them in the bedroom by now. They were right there by the bed. Eli could see Nuha's back. In fact, he could reach out and touch it. But he won't. He heard Mishi sigh and, probably because they were half asleep, she tried to explain their dilemma to an equally drowsy Nuha.
"It's not that we aren't interested," she said, yawning. "We just don't know your rules. Don't want to overstep any boundaries."
Nuha hummed. But if she or Thrawn had any other response, Eli fell asleep before he could hear it. Thrawn woke first, as was to be expected. He spent a considerable amount of time watching Eli sleep in his arms. He had taken too long to press his suit. At least the results had been satisfactory. Thrawn smiled. Very satisfactory. Thrawn pressed a soft kiss to Eli's temple and then began the task of disentangling himself from Eli without waking him. As he slid from the bed, Nuha carefully deposited a still-sleeping Mishi onto the sheets beside Eli. The pair stirred briefly, just long enough for Mishi to stumble to Eli, who immediately hugged his daemon to his chest and went back to sleep. Thrawn went to the refresher, and when he returned, sat on the floor with Nuha. He ran his hands through her fur and thought.
"What does she feel like?"
Thrawn asked eventually. He didn't clarify that he was talking about Mishi. He knew Nuha understood. Nuha didn't answer immediately, clearly thinking her response over. When she spoke, she used Chian.
"I think you should find out for yourself."
Thrawn hissed at her.
"I can't do that. The mission..." "If this was going to ruin the mission, it would have done so last night. Maybe even earlier." "We shouldn't get too attached."
"We are already too attached. Have been for a long time. You know that."
Thrawn sighed. "Do you think they would even want us?" Nuha nuzzled him and purred soothingly.
"I think so.
Do you remember what Mishi said last night? About them not knowing what our boundaries were?"
"I think if we ask, they'll agree.
It worked last night, didn't it?"
"Earthrawn?"
Eli asked groggily. Their quiet speech must have roused him.
"Is everything all right?"
He was frowning as he sat up.
"Yes,"
Thrawn said immediately. He stood and sat on the bed beside Eli.
"Everything is fine."
Eli frowned. In his lap, Mishi yawned hugely.
"You only talk chiss when you're worried about something," he murmured.
"Chian," Thrawn corrected, and watched as Eli mouthed the word to himself. Nuha nudged his leg. Thrawn took a deep breath and pressed on.
"There's something I want to ask you both," he said.
Eli nodded.
"First, I suppose I should ask if your feelings last night are still the same,"
Thrawn began. Eli grinned and kissed him. Thrawn gripped the base of Eli's neck, holding him close and deepening the kiss. Eli eventually pulled away just enough to ask,
"Any other questions?"
"How would you feel about progressing this relationship further?"
Thrawn asked before he could second-guess himself. Eli frowned for a moment before he and Mishi started laughing in delight.
"You're really bad at this," Mishi said.
She crawled onto Thrawn's lap. He didn't breathe for a moment. He looked up at Eli, who nodded, and then slowly he sank his fingers into Mishi's fur. Long, coarse hair gave way to shorter, unbearably soft fur, and Mishi nearly melted into his hand. Eli shivered and flushed deeply. Thrawn still had his hand on Eli's neck, and it struck him all at once. He was holding the entirety of Eli's being, body and soul, in his hands. They trusted him with this. With them. The knowledge of how much Eli trusted him, loved him, was nearly overwhelming. He both wanted to pull away and to never be without this feeling again.
Nuha pointedly laid her head on the bed by Eli's leg.
Eli glanced at him, asking for confirmation. Thrawn nodded. Eli buried a hand in Nuha's fur. Thrawn had never felt so vulnerable and so safe. He could feel in the gentle glide of Eli's fingers through Nuha's fur how much he's loved. Even more than that, he felt known, entirely, as no one had ever known him before. Nuha began purring loudly, and each press of Eli's hands through Nuha's fur made him shiver. Mishi burrowed into his grip, desperate for more contact, and soon Thrawn was holding the Otter Daemon in his hand. He could feel her heart pounding against his palm. Thrawn knew he would never have this with anyone again. He would never want this with anyone else. Eventually, Mishi retreated to Eli's lap, and Nuha moved away. Thrawn was unsure how long they had sat there, each holding each other's souls in their hands. Eli scooted over to sit shoulder to shoulder with Thrawn on the bed.
"Any other relationship milestones we want to cram into this day?" he asked after a while. "Want to get married?" Thrawn smiled.
"Marriages take some time to arrange."
Eli laughed and laid his head on Thrawn's shoulder. Mishi slipped out of his lap and down onto the floor to curl up with Nuha.
"Not Lycerian ones. We just have to say some vows and then get someone to do the face tattoos."
"Face tattoos?" Thrawn asked.
"You saw my parents at graduation."
"I thought that was makeup,"
Thrawn admitted, recalling the stark lines of color under the Vanto's eyes.
"Makeup would probably be easier," Eli said. "But on Lysiri, you prove how much you love someone by getting your eyelids tattooed."
"That sounds painful,"
Thrawn said, though he was intrigued.
"Oh, it is," Eli said.
"If you're lucky, your eyes only swell shut for a day or so." Thrawn looked at Nuha. His daemon regarded him calmly while Mishi groomed the leopard demon's fur.
"We have the next few days off," Thrawn said. "And I believe most standard medical droids are capable of tattooing."
Eli grinned. "They are," he agreed. "And we do have the time. But you didn't answer my question. Do you want to?"
"Yes, I do."
The End. Reader's Notes. This was recorded for the crossover fusion square of my Podfic bingo card. I had a lot of fun coming up with Nuha and Mishi's voices, and I hope you all enjoyed it. So, yeah. Please leave comments and kudos, and have a good night.